Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And a good Saturday morning to you. And, no, it's not Randy. It is not Mark. It's Rick. And they are both on assignment. And I'm just not even here. So, but we'll get here in a minute. And welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Genesis Room. Right here. We're all gone. And we are good now. We are really good, thanks to Steve Stanley and the producer here. And a good morning to you. Hope y'all are doing well. And like I said, Randy and Mark are both on assignment. Randy's playing in a really good golf tournament that I'm excited for. It's a fundraiser, and they're playing over on the Eastern Shore, and excited about that. Mark traveled with their football team at Bayside last night over into Randolph County, came home with a huge, huge win. Didn't get in until about 2 o'clock this morning, so Mark's getting a reprieve. He gets a little break, and he and Michelle have a big wedding to go to this afternoon. So I told him, I said, Mark, just you get yourself some rest, big boy. That's what you need after something like that. But congratulations to Bayside. Let's set up the show this morning. And at the end of this segment, going into the next segment, we'll go through the GC body and trailer scoreboard, talk about all of the playoff games last night. There were a few surprises, I will tell you that. Things didn't look and didn't come out very well for the 7A Region 1 here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And we will give you all the scores, not only locally, but statewide as well, like I said, on the GC body and trailer scoreboard. But I hope you enjoyed Friday night last night. I know many of you attended high school basketball games, basketball in full swing now. And, you know, boys and girls are doing, boy, just phenomenal work being done on basketball. There's a sad note that I'd like to mention, and Elena Peacock is the head girls basketball coach at Alma Bryant High School. Her husband John Peacock had a bad fall, and John's a very young man, and had a fall and is in need of our prayers. And so we think about Elena and their entire family, young boys that are just missing their dad. You know, he's in the hospital, and a lot of prayers going up for John Peacock. And I hope you'll join us in that, and for Elena and the boys as well. As we go forward today at 8:30, we'll have Jeff Kelly from Saraland, who had a big win last night over Spain Park out of Birmingham, 35-31. Then at 8:45, we'll talk to Dennis Hayford, the FCA director, who they're having a big marriage get-together session for couples. I'm going to ask Dennis about this, but not sure whether or not it's just for coaches. Presumably it is, and we'll talk about that at 8:45. Then at 9 o'clock, a little after 9, Arthur Mack is our track and field cross-country guru, and we'll talk to him about the state cross-country meet that took place up in Oakville, way up in North Alabama last weekend. Then at 9:15, we'll talk to Randy Lee, who is one of the lead announcers on the AHSAA radio network. And we'll talk to Randy about the Benjamin Russell game last night with our Theodore Bobcats. And then at 9:30, we'll talk to Rob Pate. Rob does the radio broadcast for the Auburn High School Tigers and Keith Etheridge. And, of course, they had a big win last night over our Daphne Trojans at Jubilee Stadium. We'll talk to Rob about that. And then at 9:45, we got a special 9:45 deal going today with Camp Grace. There's a segment with Tim Tebow and Kirk Cameron that Steve really put together for us, and I'm anxious for you to hear that. It's boy, it really slapped me in the face and made me more aware of things in our lives that we need to be, more up to date on. Let's just put it that way. You don't want to miss that. Certainly appreciate all the folks out at Camp Grace and everything that they do for high school sports, and they do for everybody in Mobile, Baldwin County, and their arm reaches into several more counties throughout the state of Alabama. Certainly appreciate the folks at Camp Grace. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to go over the local scores from last night and on the GC Body and Trailer scoreboard. And it's not going to be real good for our 7A folks, but last night Auburn defeated Daphne 40-0 at Jubilee Stadium. Over in Opelika, our buddy, I tell you, Van Riggs and Spence McCracken calling Opelika football on the National Federation Network. I get a kick out of listening to Spence. Spence is very colorful. He retired from coaching, 6 or 7 years ago, and he does the color analysis for Van Riggs on the play-by-play for Opelika Bulldog football. And Baker last night traveled down to Opelika, and they weren't very kind to the Baker Hornets. Opelika wins 35-9, and they will now they'll play their arch rival Auburn, and Opelika will now tangle in the 7A semifinals. We'll get you all of those a little later on. Thompson, boy, I'm telling you, Zach and Zach Gosen and his coaching staff. I'm kind of at a loss for words. Zach, when he first got the job, went over to Alabaster and spent some time with Mark Freeman and talked about how they run their program at Thompson, and just to kind of get some wisdom from Mark Freeman and his staff. Well, they imparted that will on them last night. Thompson 54, Mary Montgomery 0. And I don't remember a Zach Golson team getting shut out in the last couple of years. Then Central Phoenix City came into town last night and defeated Fairhope 34-15. In 6A, Saraland 35, Spain Park 31. We'll talk to Jeff Kelly at 8:30. Benjamin Russell 21, Theodore 14. In 5A, Vigor 49, Northside 28. Williamson 42, Elmore County 14. And they had something happen there as one of the players from Elmore County was coming out from the halftime break. From what I was told from some folks up in that area, one of the players passed out, and they had to do whatever they had to do. We couldn't see it on the National Federation Network because it was down in the far end zone, and we just couldn't. And probably good that we couldn't, but I think it was some kind of seizure or something, but certainly lifting up our prayers for that young man at a very exciting time in his life. But Williamson wins that game 42-14. In 4A, Jackson 42, Hanley 28. Bullock County defeats Mobile Christian 21-0, and St. Michael's defeats Pleasant Grove 41-7. In 3A, Cottage Hill falls to Southside of Selma 39-22. Bayside makes that long haul over to Wedowee, Alabama, and wins 47-7. And in a game that a lot of people in Mobile are interested in, especially those of us who are UMS Wright Bulldogs, Danny Horn, Central of Clay County, defeated Andalusia and Trent Taylor last night 21-2. So that's all of our local scores, and we will update you on the state scores coming back in our next segment. But stay tuned for Jeff Kelly at 8:30. and Dennis Hayford at 8:45, Arthur Mack at 9:05, Randy Lee of the AHSAA Radio Network at 9:15, Rob Pate of the Auburn High School Radio Network at 9:30, and then the Camp Grace segment, which you don't want to miss today. If you're a Tim Tebow fan, you'll want to hear this segment right here on FM Talk 106.5, Prep Sports Report, presented by our friends at Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Genesis Room. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report returns right after this break.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Oh, me. This is your big I kid Mark Leister all the time about walking in the post office and seeing a picture up there with a Marcus Leister years ago. And Steely Dan certainly puts it into the kind of words that I wanted to explain to Mark. Thank you for listening this morning, and I hope you've had a wonderful weekend. And, you know, a lot of us don't have our team still in the playoffs, and but, you know, let's be thankful that you know, we have the opportunity to play the great game of football. It certainly penetrates us in more ways than we understand until we get a little older. And, you know, it's always great to have former players that send you text and let you know how much they miss it and how much they appreciate everything that went on in their high school career. But the game of football certainly put them in a place where they were able to face some real realities as they got older in life, because they had to learn to work with a team, and those are the people that they work with, and they certainly do that better because they played the game of football. Tell you what let's do. Let's go to the GC Body and Trailer scoreboard. Let's start off with the first, with 1A, Addison 39, Berry 6, Marion County 28, Appalachian 13, Wadley 52, Meek 8. Now, let me tell you something about this Wadley team. They have probably one of the premier players in the state of Alabama, and he's a defensive end right now. I think he's going to end up being an outstanding player. Could put his hand in the dirt and be a defensive end, or could be an outside linebacker, but he is one heck of a football player, and you better watch out for Wadley in 1A. Heck of a football team. Hubbardville, 42. Hackleburg, 6. Southern Choctaw, 26. University Charter School, 12. Maplesville, here we go again. Maplesville, 48. McIntosh, 0. There's a team that you better keep an eye on as well. Maplesville is loaded to bear. I can tell you, folks up in Central Alabama are really bragging about this Maplesville team. And they played Wadley last year in the finals, and they had in the 1A state championship game, and they certainly had a bunch of kids that were injured, and so they are they're really, really, really anticipating maybe getting to play Wadley again in the 1A state championship game. McKenzie is also undefeated, 52, Otago County Academy 20, and Leroy. And let me tell you, when you talk to the Bobby Farishes of the world who've been in Leroy for a long, long, all their life, really, you talk to our friends like Bobby Farish, they'll tell you this is a really good Leroy team, and somebody's going to have to go through them to win a state championship. So I think there's three outstanding teams right there that, you know, that I think are the better ones. But now you look at McKenzie, they're 12-0. And they beat Otago Academy 52-20, and I know that Otago Academy's a pretty good football team. So 1A is really competitive. Leroy beating Linden last night 40-22. In Class 2A, Pisgah 44, Vincent 33, Southeastern 28, Red Bay 21, Coosa Christian. Now, I know we don't talk about this guy a lot, but Russ Propes is now coaching at Coosa Christian. He's got an interim tag on him, but they defeat Lexington last night, and that's Steve Mask, his son, that coaches up at Lexington. Brett's a heck of a high school football coach, and they beat them 49-16. Tuscaloosa Academy, 23. Pleasant Valley, 13. Laverne, I'm not so sure Laverne's not one of the stronger teams in 2A. They defeated G.W. Long. That's Kevin Raley's old school, and I'm telling you right now, G.W. Long's got a rich athletic tradition. Laverne beat them 29-0. That's a big win for Laverne. Lynette, 34. Ayrton, 14. Realtown, 63. Cottonwood, 28. Providence Christian, 17. Lochipoca, 14. In Class 3A, Mars Bible, 42. Winfield, 6. Geraldine, 31. Westbrook Christian, 15. Piedmont, 36. 5-0. Now, I don't know. Fife hadn't been shut out very many times in the 25 years that I've been doing this radio show, and I can tell you right now, Paul Benefield will start working Monday on the 2026 edition of the Fife Red Devils, and that's a big win for Piedmont. They're undefeated, 36-0, and Steve Smith, no longer the head coach there. He's retired and moved into the private school sector. But I can tell you right now, that's a big win, and Piedmont must be a really good football team in 3A to shut out 5-36-0. Gordo, 49, Colbert County, 29, Southside Selma, 39, Cottage Hill Christian, 22, Glenwood, 40, Trinity Presbyterian, 7, Montgomery Academy, 38, Lee Scott, 0, and Bayside Academy, 47, Randolph County, 7. In 4A, Good Hope, 31, West Morgan, 7. Plainview, 42, Alexandria, 14. You folks out there remember Jeremy Pruitt. Now, Jeremy Pruitt was a defensive coordinator for Rush Propes for several years at Hoover. They won multiple state championships. Matter of fact, they beat us at Daphne, the Steve Savarese team at Daphne, 3 years, and we were able to beat them finally in 2001 to win a state championship. But Jeremy Pruitt, he ended up being a defensive coordinator at Alabama for Nick Saban. He was a defensive coordinator for Kirby Smart at Georgia. He was also a defensive coordinator at Florida State. Of course, he had a show and comply thing with the NCAA, and he, when he was a head football coach at Tennessee, and has been out of college coaching for quite some time because the NC2A had punished him to the point that you've got to show cause why we should let you coach again after the violations that occurred. Jeremy Pruitt now is helping his dad, who is the head coach at Plainview, and just recently got hired by Coach Kelly at Jacksonville State. So I don't know if he was coaching at Plainview last night helping his dad, but, Jeremy Pruitt's now going to be on the staff of Coach Kelly, the head football coach at Jacksonville State. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Anniston, 44, Madison Academy, 12. Deschler, 31, Hamilton, 30. Boy, that was a slobber knocker. Jackson goes to Roanoke and beats Hanley, 42-28. W.S. Neal, 35, American Christian, 7. Bullock County defeats Charles Law's outstanding football team at Mobile Christian, 21-7. And St. Michael's Catholic, Philip Rivers and that crew go to Birmingham and beat Pleasant Grove 41-7. In 5A, Fairview 28, Jacksonville 13, Scottsboro 42, St. Clair County 6, Moody 60, Priceville 14, Briarwood Christian 42, Russellville 7, Vigor 49, Northside 28, Central Clay County 21, Andalusia 2, Montgomery Catholic 38, Shelby County 15, Williamson 42, Elmore County 14. Congratulations to Coach Antonio Coleman and those guys there. In 6A, Scott Baisden and the Muscle Shoals defeated Parker, the defending 6A state champion, 17-14. Mountain Brook, 35, Fort Payne, 14. Clay Chalkville, 13, Gadsden City, 7. Homewood, congratulations, Coach Ben Bergeson, 31. Hartsell, 24. Benjamin Russell, 21. Theodore, 14. Hueytown 49, Russell County 29, Pike Road 28, Bessemer City 6, and Saraland. We'll talk to Jeff Kelly coming up here in a minute. Saraland 35, Spain Park 31, and in 7A again, Auburn 40, Daphne 0, Opelika 35, Baker 0, Thompson 54, Montgomery 0, and Central of Phoenix City 34, Fairhope 15. That wraps them up. We'll come back to them a little later on. We'll try to give you the matchups for the quarterfinals right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor PSR. You know, one of the things, and we try to get as many coaches in our area on, and I always kind of wait till late for Jeff Kelly because they have built wait till late to get Jeff on because they're going to go make a deep run in the playoffs, and you know, most the last couple of years they've been playing for a 6A state championship. So we had Jeff on the line. We're trying to get him back now. So we'll catch up with him here in a minute. But, of course, they had a huge win last night, 35 to 31. Oh. All right, Jeff, I'm sorry we lost you there for a second. That's I'll take the blame on that one. But Tove Pokes, we try to get you on late in the year because y'all, just traditionally, y'all have built such a strong program there that, you know, I expect you to be in the hunt right down to the final eight, final 16, final four, final two, whatever it is. And you've won, what, 40 home games in a row? And that's pretty impressive, pal. Congratulations, 35-31 win over Tim Vaccacus in Spain Park last night.
Yeah, I'm proud of our kids. I think that was an exciting game. It was back and forth. It was two really, you know, talented, good teams that, you know, just they both wanted the same thing, and they both played really hard. And it came down to the last drive, last possession, and we were able to make a few plays down the stretch and some big moments, and it was a big win, a good win, and we will definitely take it and move on to Monday, move on to next week, and prepare up for that next challenge. And proud of our guys, the consistency. I know you mentioned that. You know, we've been able to do that for a good amount of time, and you know, winning at home and that kind of stuff. That's something our kids, I think, they're aware of. We don't talk about it a bunch, but they're aware of it, and you know, it seems to be something that carries on. They play well at home. We got good folks, and it's a fun atmosphere to play in.
We're talking to Jeff Kelly, head football coach at Saraland, 35-31 win over Tim Vaccacus in Spain Park last night at that beautiful stadium out there on the interstate. And you know, Jeff, you've certainly had some great quarterback battles going all the way back to your days as a high school and college player. But last night was a heavyweight fight. I mean, it really was. When you talk about the entire scenario that you had there on your home field, but the two quarterbacks, Spain Park's Brock Bradley, and Brock is committed to Dabo Swinney at Clemson. But if you watch the game as I watched it, the most outstanding performer on that field last night was that big junior for you, 6'3", Jamison Roberts. He had some kind of football game, Jeff, and I know you're mighty proud of him.
I really am. I really am. And Brock, you know, for Spain Park, made some big throws with guys in his face and big moments. And, you know, I felt like Jameson, you know, we started the game really, really hot and, you know, kind of had them on their heels and had them on the ropes and really probably had a chance to kind of pull away in the second quarter. But, you know, Spain Park wouldn't go away. They kept making plays. And they frustrated us a little bit late in the second quarter there. They were doing a lot of zone blitz stuff, and we didn't do a great job of fitting on some of those blitzes and picking it up. And, you know, they had us really, you know, on our heels going into halftime and, you know, challenged our offense and Jameson specifically just to be who he is and to take control and lead like he always does. And I, you know, his decision-making, his getting the ball out, making throws under pressure, making some big runs was a huge difference in that second half, even on the last drive. I mean, we had everybody remembers the throwback play that got us down to, you know, to the one right there. But the play before was a 3rd and 11 where we climbed the pocket and he got to his fourth read, his fourth progression, on a 3rd and 11 with the season on the line and just threw a dime, a strike to, you know, Larry Edwards, and he made a great play on it to get to that opportunity. But, yeah, proud of him. We had a lot of guys that played well, and Jameson's coming into his own. He has come into his own. He's one of the best quarterbacks around, you know, and I think colleges are taking note of that.
I thought coming out of half when you guys got a stop right off the bat, and then either the first, not the first play, but either the second or the third play, I can't remember, he goes 70 on a quarterback run. Everybody was covered, and he looks up, and there he goes. And I'm just telling you, he looked like a gazelle running down the field. I'm talking about a beautiful athlete and a great run.
Yeah, it was second play of the half, and we run a full vert, and they dropped in it. And, you know, the thing about – you know, Jameson, he's a big, tall kid, and once he gets going, now he can run with anybody on the field. You know, he is once he gets to top speed, there ain't a whole lot of folks that can run with him. And he put his foot in the ground and kind of sparked us on that drive. We got the big stop. We needed it, you know, and that kind of settled everybody. That settled the defense, settled the offense, and, you know, he kind of sparked us there on that drive. And we had some big stops, you know. Our defensive staff, they do a great job, you know, and our players. We had some injuries on defense the last couple of weeks, and so we had to reshuffle some things, and our coaches and players did a good job of getting ready to play. And, you know, I think one of the great just examples of excellence in high school football is LJ Nobles, you know, one of our senior leaders, just a blue collar, been our fullback for 2 years, and he's just such a hard nosed, great, you know, example of what a high school player ought to be. He made 3 sacks in the second half and 2 on the final 2 plays to, you know, to close out that last drive for them. And so proud to see guys like that go have success in big moments. And, you know, it fires you up. He's a coach's kid, you know, and he plays like that. He gets after it the right way.
Well, he certainly was impressive, especially on the last drive when Bradley was doing everything he could to try to get his team in a position to score. And LJ was, he was relentless. Thank you for mentioning him. He's on my notes because in watching the game, You just had to know that he's going to make a play. And, you know, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations, and I guess that did come true last night. You got another player that, to me, is you guys have had some really good receivers. I'm talking about, you know, all you got to do is look at Alabama and look at number 2. I mean, he was a great player.
Yeah.
But Deshaun Spencer doesn't take a back seat to too many of them, and you got another one or two that don't take back seats, Jeff.
Well, we've got, you know, 4-5 receivers right now playing in Division I receivers right now, you know, and at different places. And I told Deshaun last night after the game, he's as good as anybody. We've been fortunate. We've just had good kids out there at that position, but – the way he competes and what he does when the ball is in his hand, he's a former running back, former quarterback. He's just used to having the ball in his hands, and when he can take a hitch or a screen or something like that and just turn it in 20 yards and in no time. And he had that look in his eye, and he's such a great leader for our team. He's a guy that probably played 20, 30 snaps on defense last night as well.
Wow.
And he'll do whatever it takes. You know, we had a loss 2 weeks ago with LaWardrick Jones, one of our best, our most senior corner. He's been a good player for a long time. And, we've had to make some adjustments and changes. And Deshaun is just he's always that guy. He just wants to do what he can do and help his team. But I think he's going to play football for a long time. He's got, some great opportunities around the corner that he's got to, finalize and everything and decide, when he signs in December. But he's a great competitor and a great leader, and an even better young man. I mean, he's a great kid.
Well, it's got to be fun coaching all of your players. I mean, you guys are all on the same page. And one of the things that a lot of people don't know is Jeff lost his defensive coordinator this year. He had one that they were nurturing and doing everything they could to prepare him to become the next defensive coordinator, and he has done a tremendous job. I mean that. And
I agree with you. Skyler is one of the young, up and coming bright stars in coaching in our area. He's a guy that played for us back in 13 and 14, and he just had that mentality and demeanor, and he studies and he's learned, and you get that position open up in our place.
You
got a lot of people that would can do a great job at that, and there's probably some eye openers, folks that just when we decide to go within, there's probably a lot of folks that didn't understand that, but they didn't know that young man like I know him, and they didn't know his capabilities like I know him. And he's worked hard, and he's got some great help over there. Ryan Little's a guy that's come in this year, a veteran guy that's helped us in the secondary. Johnny Sklopan and Greg Brown and Luke Lanier. A lot of those guys played for us. One of the coolest things now that I'm fortunate, it may just be I'm getting old. I've got, I think, 7 guys on our staff that played for me.
That's awesome.
And that they know what it's about.
That's fun. That's Saraland football. Jeff, congratulations. Good luck. You travel. I don't say good luck. I never say that. Travel to Pike Road next week. I guarantee you'll be loaded for bear for that one, too. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Coach.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Kelly, Saraland. 35-31 winner over my buddy Tim Vakakis. Up at Spain Park in Birmingham. When we return, Dennis Hafer, FCA director in South Alabama, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
All right, if you guys are traveling, you can speed dial us, 251-343-0106. You can keep up with us by going to the FM Talk 106.5 website. You can go to TuneIn Radio. You can go to Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcast. And those of you in Central and North Alabama, tune in to Radio Alabama. 13 stations under their umbrella, Michael Brannon, Lee Perryman, Jeremy Law. That's an awesome group right there in Sylacauga, and so happy to be a part of their family as well. So, with that, let's go to Dennis Hafer, the FCA director here in South Alabama, and does a awesome job. Absolutely awesome. Dennis, thank you for being with us this morning, pal.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hope y'all are well.
Well, we're doing well. We got Randy on assignment, and Mark taking a nap, and so we're flying solo. So Steve Stanley's keeping me straight. So we're good. We're good. You on the other hand, you got a bunch going on, pal. You got a coach spouse getaway. You got a Senior Bowl rally coming up. Let's talk a little bit first about the Senior Bowl rally, January 26th over at Cottage Hill Baptist Church.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Rick. It's a busy time for us. We've got registration going on for two great events, the Senior Bowl rally. A lot of people in our area are familiar with the Senior Bowl is a great FCA partner. So for 40-plus years, we've partnered together ministering to the not only to the players, the Senior Bowl players that come in, but they're gracious to give us time with the players and bring them over to a venue. This year, it'll be at Cottage Hill Baptist Church, and we'll have 2,000 or 3,000 kids from our area come. We have a worship band. We feed everybody Chick-fil-A, and then you get to hear some testimonies from some of the players. And Rick, it's amazing. Every year, I am stunned at the godly young men that are amazing football players at the same time and are willing to talk about Jesus. So that's January 26th. And for information, we're registration just open for that. We encourage coaches to bring their teams, huddle schools to bring their, you know, load up on a bus. SouthAlabamaFCA.org is where you can get all the information on that.
And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing there. I want to mention something, Camp Grace segment today. I thought of you when I listened to this, Tim Tebow talking about being in sports and playing football and that being a large part of his life. He said he was always prepared for every aspect of the game, and it was a full-time sprint, absolutely, in everything that he did. But he was stuck in a rut, and his Christian witness was kind of on a jog, while the things that are not nearly as important, the game, it was a full-time sprint. And that analogy just, boy, it slapped me right in the face, and I thought about you and all that you guys do. Everything you do with FCA is a full-time sprint, and it's you never jog. You're never jogging. You're just sprinting. And I want you to know how much we appreciate that, and I never had a chance to tell you that, but I want you to know how much we appreciate that. And really nothing more so than this coach-spouse getaway that is vital for families. And
yeah.
Let's talk about that.
I know it, Rick. Like, you know, having been a former coach, coaches number one are in my humble, albeit correct opinion, are the number one influencers in our communities. And they're underpaid, they're underappreciated, and everybody thinks they can do their job better than they can. you got bankers and accountants who think they could be better coaches than the professionals that we are. But in Southern Alabama, we have amazing men and women who coach our kids. And so about 6 years ago, my wife came to me and said, Dennis, you need to do something for the coaches and their spouses and like a marriage retreat. And so she and I started that, and we host it every year. And it's amazing. March 6th through the 8th. You have to be a coach at a school in order to be eligible to come. It is a Friday through Sunday weekend down in Orange Beach. And for $199, you get that takes care of everything. Two nights on the beach with all your meals and world-class sessions on how to have a great marriage. But what people tell us at the end of every session, we do a survey, and they tell us the small groups are really what they come for.
Right.
Where coaches and their spouses can get in those small groups after the sessions and meet new people, kind of talk about what they're going through, and it sells out every year. And yesterday, it opened, registration opened yesterday, and it sold out. In 4 hours.
I love that.
Rick, if you're a coach listening and you want to come, I encourage you to go to our website, South Alabama FCA, and register anyway. Get on the wait list, because here's the cool part, Rick. We're a no man left behind ministry, so we've never not emptied our waiting list.
Yeah.
Because once we fill the hotel up, we ask some of our FCA friends if they have condos at the beach, and we'll put people on the waiting list. We'll get them in a condo. You're not on site, but people donate their condos to us for that weekend. Isn't that sweet?
That's consistent with FCA people. It is.
Yeah.
It
right. Is. Right. So we empty the wait list. So if you're listening to me, I'm sorry it sold out, but don't hesitate. Go online, register, and we'll get you somewhere.
Dennis, as always, thank you. Steve's given me a time limit here, so I'm on time. So thank you so much. Appreciate everything that you do, and I can't begin to tell you how much we appreciate you. And please, I know you probably know this, Elena Peacock at Alma Bryant, her husband is really struggling right now. I know you guys will be praying for John and that entire Alma Bryant family.
You got it. Let's do it right now.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for John, and we pray for your amazing healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Dennis Hayford.
Hey, love you, Rick.
Love you.
Thanks,
pal.
Buddy.
Take care. When we return, we're going to talk to Arthur Mack about the state cross country meet. You don't want to miss Arthur. He's got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Yeah, not so fast there. Not so fast. Welcome back to the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And we're presented by our good friends at Alpha. And we are coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And remember this, if you have fender benders of any kind of collision, call our good friends at Premier Collision at 251-478-4500. And Chris or Kim or Tyler or Joe or Jim, all of those folks will do everything in the world to help you get everything fixed on your vehicle, because I can promise you, when you take your vehicle there, as all three of us here at PSR have done, then you become family, and they treat you like family. I can promise you that. So Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, in the heart of Mobile, Alabama, 251-478-4500. Fender benders are nothing but a day or two's work for those guys at Premier Collision. I want to welcome Arthur Mackey in. Arthur is our track and field man. He is our guru, and he is the guy that covers every aspect of track and field. I even see Arthur covering high school football, and he's covered every high school sport, I think, in his career, but certainly is the best around when it comes to covering track and field. Arthur, good morning.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
Doing well, and you made that long journey up to Oakville. And and the Jesse Owens crew, they that run the tournament, or I don't know if they run it, but they sponsor it and do whatever. But they certainly did a great job this year up in
Yes, they did.
Let's get a rundown. Tell us what you know.
Well, what I know is St. Luke's had an outstanding performance. They finished second in both the boys and girls in Class 3A, which was really a pleasant surprise, because this is a relatively young team on both the boys and the girls' side. They don't have a whole lot of senior leadership, so they had a lot of young runners, which is kind of an advantage, because as time goes on, they're going to mature and really come into their own.
Well, and I noticed in either an article that you wrote or something that I read somewhere else, that we had a young eighth grader, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even younger than that, that won the 7A girls. Was that, am I correct on that?
That is correct. And, you know, it was really surprising because the young lady she beat, Sarah Toll of Auburn, was favored to win the race. The young lady in question is Reese Gonzalez of Hoover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a great future in front of her if she beats Sarah. I can tell you that.
Yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, Reese had the fastest time of any runner last Saturday. 17 minutes, 57.58 seconds. That's really impressive for an eighth grader.
Yeah. Arthur,
this call is being recorded.
Uh-oh. How's that go? You still there, Arthur?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. We're good. That's good. We got bebops and bobops coming in. I don't know what that is, but I want you to talk a little bit about the track that they run there at Oakville. It was muddy, and I want you to talk about the finish line because that is something that we hear about. I know Wes Latham, we were talking earlier this week about it, and he said it's just something, it's unbelievable to watch the finish line of a cross-country meet. Talk a little bit about
that. Now, about the course itself, you know, it was not muddy. It was relatively dry. But that finish line, I tell you what, it's a sight to see. It's lined with trees. Spectators have a chance to view it from both sides. And it's a straight shot to the finish line. I mean, it's flat. It's almost like running on a track, you know what I mean?
Right.
When the runners come around that curve and into that final stretch, you know, I mean, it's just electric. And there were several races where there were close finishes. The crowd was just roaring. It was almost like being at an Alabama football game.
Am I correct that we had a wet course, and did that slow times down or?
Not really. The wet course that you were thinking about was at sectionals over in Baldwin County.
That's right.
Over at Bayside's.
That's right.
Sports facility. You know, that was the muddy one.
And
I tell you what, it's a miracle that, you know, a whole lot of people didn't slip down and fall on their rear end.
Well, you know, these young – and Arthur, this is something we like to talk to you about. These track and field athletes, they go from August to May. I mean, they literally do. There is something involving track and field going on from August to May. So those – athletes, they train the year round.
Oh, pretty much, yeah. You know, when you have a whole lot of athletes running cross country and then transitioning in the track, it's almost like a year round proposition, to say the least.
I want you to talk about the teams that were victorious and won state championships last week.
Okay. All right, I can do that for you. Well, class 7A boys, Vestavia Hills defeated Hoover by a score of 43-63. And what's really impressive is they defeated Huntsville, you know, which is a powerhouse in its own right.
Right.
And And then on the girls' side, Auburn, despite a toll not winning an individual title, defeated Vestavia Hills 80-84. And I tell you, Auburn had a Auburn's team is really dynamic. I think they won their eight title in 9 years or something like that.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly, but you know they've had a dominant team for many, many years.
Yeah.
All right. Now Class 6A. No surprise there. Mountain Brook, as expected, won the boys' title, and they won the girls' title as well. And what's really surprising, the girls, Saraland finished third as a team.
Right.
And the boys finished fifth.
Wow.
So that Saraland, you know, has an up-and-coming cross-country program. You know, I've seen them in action, and I tell you what, I'm really impressed with them. they're going to make some noises, you know, in the years ahead.
Right. In the lower classifications, how did we do?
Well, let's see. Scottsboro won the boys. That was really the most exciting race of the day because their leading runner, Ryder Linville, pitched out Westminster of Oak Mountain's Weaver Caldwell and Jacksonville's Rua Martin by really less than a second. It was virtually a photo finish.
Wow. Boy, that's very competitive. And the thing about it is these kids are, like we said, they're running year-long. And, Arthur, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't know how you keep up with all of it. I really don't. Because
it's not easy. There's a lot of research involved, that's for sure.
Well,
and getting back to class 5A, about 5A boys, one thing that really impressed me was the performances of Faith Academy's Evan May and Taylor Whitehead. Both of them finished 11th and 12th overall, and they got all state honors.
Wow, that's
and both of them are, I think, sophomores, so they have a pretty bright future ahead of them as well.
All right, we got about 30 seconds here. Top talent returning in 2026 in our area.
Okay. Well, you got Evan May and Taylor Whitehead, as I mentioned before.
Right.
You have several young ladies from Sarah Land, among them Teresa Yeh and Mallory Little. They'll be returning next season. Of course, we mentioned St. Luke's boys and girls. They have a whole bunch of young runners, so look out for them making a big noise next season.
Arthur Mack, thank you so much. We look forward to speaking to you soon. Have a great day, and
we appreciate
everything you do. Take care. That's Arthur Mack. When we return, Randy Lee of the AHSAA Radio Network and the color commentator for the Benjamin Russell Wildcats right here on Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor PSR this morning. A lot of people happy around the state of Alabama. A lot of folks sad, too, dealing with high school football. But I don't know of anybody in any community. And if you listen to them on the radio, you listen to them on the National Federation Network, you know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guys at Benjamin Russell High School. And we appreciate Randy Lee jumping on with us. Randy, of course, he and Brett Pritchard are the man, they are the guys that have put together the AHSAA Radio Network and have done a magnanimous job doing that. But they also, their main thing in football season before the postseason starts is they are the radio team and National Federation team for the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. And Randy, thank you for taking a couple of minutes this morning and joining us after a huge win.
Well, big win, but Rick, I want to start real quick. Thank you for asking me. You know, I'm a big fan of yours, and you work with us on the HSA Radio Network, and you add way more color than I ever could to any broadcast. So, but, yes, great game last night, and glad to be with you in the playoffs.
Well, thank you. Those are mighty fine comments that should be directed other ways at this 70-year-old age, but I absolutely look forward every year to getting in the booth with you guys and covering high school sports and the state championship there. This year we'll be in Birmingham. 21-14, 7-point deficit to start the game. Kirk Johnson's really he's got a great staff he's got together, but more than anything, he's got a team that is unified and playing together as one.
Well, I think the reason for it starts with him. You know, great leadership allows the players to be put in the position to make plays when they're needed, but they handle themselves well with composure. And you've been around sports for a long time, and when you get in games like this and you're matched up with coaches like Steve Mask, and I'll start with that, when this is not my first rodeo with Steve Mask. He's one of the best this state's ever produced. And one thing you know about Coach Mask, when you play a team of his and you're not physical, he will expose you. And last night was exactly what I remember of broadcasting many of his games in the past. He's going to play downhill running football, and he's going to put you in a difficult situation.
Uh-oh. We lose? Okay, we'll call him back. That's Randy Lee you're listening to, and he, of course, is the color analyst for the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. And there he is.
Sorry, Rick, I lost you there for a second. Hopefully I'm back.
You are. Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I hear you. You're at home with me when you're in those woods around the lake.
I hear you. And I tell you, though, I was bragging on Steve Mask and started with that. But that was the topic going into the game. Kirk Johnson's one of the best currently in the state, and Coach Mask in his 29 years. And they match up well with one another. They both preach the same things, and offensive and defensive line play, and that's what we got last night.
You know, one of the things that really surprised me about Theodore, and we're talking to Benjamin Russell Man right now, but the 20 penalties in the game, and they were all legitimate penalties. I mean that. And at critical times in the game, and Benjamin Russell took advantage of that.
Yeah, I think there was 15 penalties for Ben Russell and 24 Theodore last night. And there wasn't a lot of, holding penalties and, pass interference, blocks in the back. These were just procedural penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, jumping off sides on offensive and defensive lines. Both teams really well coached, though, making a lot of shift movements before snap, which caused problems for either side of the ball. But like we were talking about and bragging on Coach Mask, if you get in a game against him and you're lucky enough for them to be penalized as much as they were last night, you can count that as a blessing, because you're not going to get that too often. And it really helped Ben Russell last night.
We're talking to Randy Lee of the AHSAA Radio Network and the color analyst for the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. You and Brett and Wes and Faith just do a fabulous job. I know, listening to you guys last night, I was really, really thought a lot about the young quarterback, Kingston Pryor. I did a wonderful job for you. Talk just a little bit about his development, if you've seen him all year long.
He's special, Rick. He really is. He's got outstanding parents. I want to start with that. I mean, he's got a support system like none other. And he's a sophomore, can't even drive yet. But he's probably 6'3", 6'4", closing in on 200 pounds. I think he's the number two prospect in the state of Alabama in the sophomore class this year. He can deliver the football down the field with the best of them. He's got a little Jeremy Johnson-esque play to him in that he can go run, but he doesn't necessarily want to go run. He wants to throw the ball, and, we've got great talent at receiver, starting with two of them in Sadarius Morgan and B.J. Bedgood. And Kingston, he's the trigger man, though. He's a great leader, composed. Whoever ends up – he got a Vandy offer this week. He's had an Auburn offer. He'll end up with every offer out there. He's just a wonderful kid, and we're lucky to have him.
Well, and to see the way he keeps his composure on the field is something to really look at as a young man, because he doesn't look like he gets flustered very easily.
He doesn't, and, he's led that way. Kirk Johnson's got his leadership group, and he preaches that. And keeping composure is important in big games like that, and he's one of the leaders. But, one that you'll probably go to next, the most impressive thing if you're an Alabama fan and you're getting Sadarius Morgan is, yes, he's a special talent. He's the number one player in the state for a reason. But he is very composed, and he can do it all.
Yeah.
He blocks exceptionally well. He blocked a field goal last night at a key moment of the game. We put him back at safety. He's got a physical presence about him, a willingness to come up and hit, and can do a little bit of everything. So I know you're a Bama fan, Rick. You're getting a special one right there. I wish us Auburn fans could have gotten him, but he's going to be one of the best players, I think, for Alabama over the next few years.
You got me confused. I'm the biggest Auburn fan in Mobile or Baldwin County.
Oh, my bad, Rick. Yeah, no, I'm screwing you up. I got to remember, you're a Billy Coleman-esque guy down there.
Yeah, so. Well, in a lot of ways. I'm trying to be more like him every day, I can promise you. But, no, I grew up an Alabama fan. You're right. But when Tommy Tuberville and those guys signed our son Clay, my blood began to be blue and orange instead of red. I can promise you that.
Well, but very, very good.
But Sedarian is that kind of player that you guys have seen there, like Malcolm Simmons. Is that right? Is Malcolm one of yours?
Malcolm's one of ours. Malcolm is a lot like the receiver that you have down at Sarah Lynn right now.
Yep.
He's, you Spencer. Know, a 6 foot, 6 foot one, 180, exceptional athlete, now holds the long jump record, and I think he missed the high jump record for the AHSA by maybe like a quarter of an inch or something. So he's that type of athlete.
Yeah.
Sedarian could I told last night, Sedarian could be Charles Johnson or he could be Antonio Gates. Just depends
right.
on what
yeah.
style of player he wants to be. He's every bit of 6 foot five. He weighs 210 now, but he's weighed 210 for 3 years. And he could hold 240 or 250. He's a Sunday player, and he's a Sunday personality, and his emotions aren't carried on his sleeve. He carries himself really well, so Alabama's getting a great one.
Well, and they don't need any more. That's enough.
No, they got enough.
that's enough. And I believe that he'll be a tight end one day on Sundays. I really do. I think he'll get up to that weight, and he'll just be Antonio Gates is exactly the one that I've thought about as well. Now, as you look down the road, you have another home game. You have Hueytown coming in. Don't know if you know much about them. A lot of people across North Alabama have not kind of given them the recognition I think they deserve when I watch them on film. They're very clean, and they don't make as many mistakes as you would think past Hueytown teams have done in the past, but they are – it's going to be a good matchup for your Benjamin Russell Wildcats, Randy.
Well, I think the two communities match up well. This will be the third time we've played Hueytown in the playoffs in like the last 6 or 7 years, and their athletes match ours. Their willingness to play physical football matches
yeah.
ours, and they've been really good for a long time. So I'm looking forward to it. Very happy we're getting them at home.
Yep.
You know, some years you just get lucky enough that every round you're at home. I remember, I guess, 2015, we had to come over to Spanish Fort for the umpteenth time, and it was the fourth round of the playoffs in the semifinals, and Spanish Fort was never on the road
yep.
the entire playoff run. And look, it may end up that way for us this year if we're lucky enough to get through next weekend. But glad to get them at home. Great program. Very, very well coached, and should be a really good game next Friday.
We got to get out of here, Randy. Thanks a bunch. Look forward to seeing you in Birmingham, pal. Take care.
Thanks,
and God
Rick.
Bless.
I appreciate
yep.
you, buddy.
See ya. We'll be right back with more Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report with Rob Pate of the Auburn Tiger High School Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Hi, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Of course, Randy's on assignment. Mark Laster's taking a good long nap. So, Coach is solo today. That's, I guess that's fun. Well, the Auburn Tigers, Keith Etheridge brought a team in to Jubilee Stadium last night, and I think when I say this, I don't want this to be taken wrong by anybody, but lots of turnovers, and you cannot turn the ball over at midfield and dominate a team or even win a game against a team like the Auburn Tigers, and I think this guy probably knows as much about this high school football team as anybody, and Rob Pate on the broadcast team. And Rob, thank you for joining us this morning on the Thompson Tractor PSR. Big win. Lee County's going to be represented in Birmingham, Super 7, but 40-0 over a Daphne team that has shown a propensity to score the football, not against your team last night, pal.
Yeah, it was a big win for this team, and thank you for having me on. Yeah, it was really the best defensive performance, I think, that Auburn's had this season in the creating turnovers department. And you're right. I mean, Daphne just laid the ball on the ground far too often to have any real shot at getting their offense going. And Auburn was very opportunistic, took advantage of field position multiple times with some really good special teams play from Joseph Daniel, who's a great punter. I mean, he's a kid that got a Vanderbilt offer this past week, so he'll be punting on Saturdays. And, you know, he really pinned Daphne deep a couple times, and Auburn took advantage of it and got out of there with a good victory.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention family here. I think that's the theme of our calling to you today. But Cason Myers, a junior quarterback there for Keith and the Tigers, goes out early in the game. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken. I don't have this from anybody, but as I'm talking to Rob Pate, J.D. Pate comes in. I believe that's your son, isn't it?
That is my son, yeah.
And Dana might take exception to that. I'm his mama, too, now, and I should get more recognition.
No, I've got identical twin boys on this team. And
wow.
One's a quarterback, and one is a wide receiver, and you know, this actually happened. You're right. Cason Myers is an unbelievable player. I mean, he's of all the quarterbacks I've seen this year, he's bar none the best quarterback I've seen. And I think he'll be competing for the top quarterback in the state next season, even alongside a Trent Seaborn. I just think he's that talented.
Yeah.
He got hurt on the second drive. He got sacked by a big kid. The kid committed to Oklahoma, defensive lineman from 6'6", 250. And he didn't come back, had a right shoulder injury. So John David got thrust in the second quarter, second drive. But the good thing about that was he just had road experience with this happening 2 or 3 weeks ago, last game of the season against Dothan. Cason got hurt early in that game, and so John David had to come in and play in the second quarter on and had a really good game. I think that gave him the confidence to be able to walk in there on the road, second round of the state playoffs, and not feel overwhelmed. I mean, he wasn't, you know, the offense is going to change when John David's out there. He doesn't have the powerful arm that Cason has, but he's really athletic, just knows where to go with the football, you know, slithery runner. You know, he's always had a really high sports IQ to know, you know, down and distance and, you know, where to go with the football. And he did a good job of protecting the ball and leading them down the field a couple times. They took advantage of a lot of great field position opportunities, but showed some toughness running between the tackles. And, you know, really proud of him coming in on that first drive and finding the receiver wide open, scrambling to his left. Saw a guy that was on a busted coverage for Daphne and then had a long touchdown pass. So that was his first of his career, and it was a huge one for Auburn.
You got to save that football. That's one you got to save.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what's funny about that is he said, I hated that football because that was Cason's football. You know, the quarterbacks will pick the ball they like before, and so they still had Cason's ball out there because it was the second play he was in the game.
Yeah.
So he said that ball was slick. He said, I knew when I saw him, he said, I knew that I was going to throw a duck out there because I didn't have to get the ball I liked. But he got it over the corner and into the end zone.
You know, one of the things, and we're talking to Rob Pate of the broadcast team of Auburn High School, former Auburn player, now an optometrist, I believe, in Lee County, right there in the Opelika-Auburn area. And, of course, he and Dana have twin sons playing football. I don't know how you handle that. That's just one something, but you got two out there. That's something special. But the thing that I thought JD brought into the game was his propensity to be able to flush, you know, just to flush the pocket as far as running the football. When he saw a gap, he took off and ran, and I thought that was a huge part of the game that Daphne didn't really do a very good job containing him.
Yeah, and that's a big part of his game because he's a good athlete, and you know, he knows when there's green grass, and you take what you give him, what somebody's giving you, and he takes advantage of that when given the opportunity. You know, I think that you know, it really depends on kind of what Cason Myers' arm does this week in the healing. you know, most of these teams have no idea how to prepare for John David. You don't go into an Auburn match, you know, looking at how do we stop, you know, number 18.
Yeah.
And it's all about number 15,
yeah.
Kason Myers. And so, it, you know, the road gets tougher, you know, when teams start preparing for you and finding out what you do well and trying to shut that down. But, you know, we've seen a lot of teams in this league lose a quarterback and not have an option after
right.
that.
Yeah.
And so it has been a breath of fresh air to see a kid come in and be able to lead a team at you know, being young. And and they've rallied around him. That's been special to watch too, is to see, you know, the offensive lineman when he gets tackled over on the opposite sideline, man, they're over there to make sure that no funny business is going on. When he scores, you know, they're over there, it's 11 people in the end zone celebrating. And I think they want to see him have more success than he does. And the coaches have done a good job, too, of making sure that they're calling things that he can run effectively and that he's practiced well. So, it's been a thrill to watch. And, you know, and again, the crazy thing is Auburn-Opelika, you know, obviously played third week of the season.
It was an awful game, Rob. It was one of the worst high school games. And I told Keith and Brian this. They were horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how you called it. I really don't.
The crazy thing is that if Myers is injured, neither one of the quarterbacks that played that night will play in this game. It'll be two sophomore quarterbacks that go head-to-head leading their teams. And that'll be just it'll be throwback defensive-style football, and it'll be a great game.
Well, and I don't want to apologize, but I do want to – we try to be the most positive high school radio show for 25 years, but I can't help but – I called Keith on Monday and I said, "Have you been on your knees? Are you praying that you don't ever have another game?" And then I called Brian the next day, and wow, they were both just saying, "I don't know how we got through it."
Yeah,
it was something. But
I know, and unfortunately, that's been a theme in several games that I, you know, that doesn't just go to high school ball.
No.
You see it in college ball too.
You're right.
And I know that that's a tough subject for a lot of folks. That was a bad night.
That's just like Kentucky was for us on the Plains. You know, it's very similar to me.
Yeah.
I'll stay away from that conversation because I'm way, way too biased on that. Caleb Hicks, we got about 2 minutes. Caleb Hicks was all over the field defensively. Mm-hmm. And every time there was a ball on the ground, Caleb was on top of it.
You're talking about Eli Scott.
All right. Well, when I'm watching National Federation, why am I calling?
You're talking about 27?
Yep.
That is Eli Scott.
Okay.
And so that may be just a issue with the for instance, the roster that I have has my sophomore son that plays wide receiver as the third string quarterback. So, you know, those things aren't always right.
Well,
Eli Scott is a kid that really nobody knew going into this season was going to be a difference maker, that Coach Etheridge said in preseason meetings, "Hey, circle this kid. He's going to get better week in and week out, and he's going to help this team win." And he's gone from a reserve role to a starter, and he was a difference maker across the defensive front last night. He was unblockable in the first half.
Yeah.
And had a little issue with that helmet popping off a couple of times, but he also made up for it with popping the ball out and sacking the quarterback multiple times. So having him along that defensive front has been key to Auburn's resurgent defensively.
Well, I know you guys are looking forward to a rematch, and that should be a heck of a football game. And Rob, I want to tell you something. As this is one of the things that really sticks in my craw, and I want to tell you how proud I am of you and Dana of keeping your son as a youngster playing behind an older child and not transferring him out to some another school. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for keeping him and keeping him right where he and all of his friends are going to school, and both your kids. You could easily transfer them. They're such good players, and he's playing behind an SEC prospect. Thank you for that.
Hey, man, I appreciate you saying that. That's something we talk about a lot, and you're right. And the crazy thing is that he started the season the fifth quarterback on the team. I'm good for him for hanging in there.
Take care, Rob. Appreciate it. War Eagle, pal. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
God bless. When we return to Kemp Gray segment, you don't want to miss this one. This is a Tim Tebow, Kim Cameron spot that really rattled my chains, I can tell you, in a very positive way right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, the Kemp Gray segment coming up.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Kemp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Kemp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Kemp Rapahope, Kemp Mash, Kemp Smile, and Kemp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Kemp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, one of the things that I wanted to do for a couple of weeks is I wanted to share something from one of our Kemp Grace sponsors. Daughter Carolyn Pilot Burdett owns Rooted and Grounded at 2754 Dolphin Street, right there in Mobile, right here in Mobile. It's really across the railroad tracks from UMS Wright if you're on Dolphin Street there. But they have big things going on for the holidays. They have pre-order take and bakes for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Take and bakes are a bake-at-home option for Rooted and Grounded cinnamon rolls. And if you've ever had one, you'll want to take some and bake them at home, I can promise you. Take and bake comes with four cinnamon rolls that are ready to be placed in the oven, and icing to the top of them goes with it. Then they have an early bird Christmas sale at Rooted and Grounded on Friday, November the 21st. And that is, I think that's 1 week from yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, is our early bird Christmas sale. You draw from a bowl for a chance at up to 50% off of any of our merchandise at Rooted and Grounded. And then Christmas Night of Worship. Join us on Tuesday, December the 2nd for our Christmas Worship Night. Doors open at 5:30. Worship begins at 6. And then on Monday, December the 8th, we have our Study Night, which is open to college students. We'll be open 5:30 to 10 p.m. There will be free pizza, blessing bags, live worship, and, of course, coffee. Rooted and Grounded will be closed December 24 through 31st. Appreciate everything that, what Caroline and staff at Rooted and Grounded do. It's a place where you can go and have coffee with your accountability group. It's a Christ-centered coffee shop, and, you know, it is – generally, there are lots of people coming and going in Rooted and Grounded, and you don't want to miss the opportunity to be there. I had the opportunity to listen to Tim Tebow and Kirk Cameron, and I'd like for you to hear what Tim Tebow talks about the speed of how he attacked collegiate football. And then I want you to listen as he talks about the difference in running with speed to an event and how he kind of said that he had put his Christian witness in a jog motion. This will I hope it hits you the way it hit me. Here's Tim Tebow talking to Kirk Cameron.
I would say one of the most disappointing things about my life is that my greatest effort has been for a game. But hopefully, if we could have a conversation at the end of my life or in heaven looking back, I could say, no, Kirk, it started for a game, but it ended for the cause of Christ. I feel like I've spent a lot of my life as a believer jogging, not running. See, the word that's used in Scripture is the word treho, and it means to advance speedily like an athlete moving forward with full effort and a directed purpose. How often are we moving forward when God's calling us to something with full effort and a directed purpose? I can tell you for me in sports, I was moving forward with a full effort and a directed purpose. Maybe it was okay sometimes and maybe not as good sometimes. It's not about how good I was, but man, I was trying hard. Man, I was willing to play with broken bones. I was willing to... blood, sweat, and tears. I was willing to give up vacations. I was willing to put in time, strategy, focus, effort. I was willing to embrace the grind. But what I am saying is if I was willing to do all of that for a game, what should I be willing to do for the cause of Christ?
Hell, are you as guilty of that as I am? Boy, every time I hear it, it hits me. I spent my whole life chasing sports dreams. Not only as an athlete, but as a coach. And did I direct my full effort. And I had a directed purpose in everything I played in. And it was to win. And all it's done, I think, is brought, well, you know, it's brought pain in the sense that I've spent too much time focused on that. And what Tim shares with you is in everything he did on a football field, he did it with full effort and with a directed purpose. And there was no slowing down because that was the goal, to be the very best he could be and do it with every ounce of ability he could do it with. And how many of us have done the same thing with our jobs, which we have to provide for our family? But at the same time, if we're running as fast as we can to do the job that we're paid to do with fervor, and then we're just kind of jogging in our cause for Christ. And I hope you understand Tim's point there, because what he was saying was his priorities at many times during his competitive life were to win and to win a game. And I think that's a lot of us. And I have to look in the mirror like the man in the mirror says, and it tells you the truth. It does. So I hope that as we go through this last phase of our life, for many of us, that our cause for Christ will be full effort with a directed purpose and sprinting to that cause, not jogging. I appreciate everything that Tim had to say in that, and you can see that at a lot of different places, and it's out there. Got a text on my line. Give us the scores from last night, and I want to do that real quick. Auburn 40, Daphne 0. Opelika 35, Baker 9. Thompson 54, MGM 0. Central Phoenix City 35, Fairhope 15. Sarah Land 35, Spain Park 31. Ben Russell 21, Theodore 14, Viger 49, Northside 28, Williamson 42, Elmore County 14, Jackson 42, Hanley 28, Bullock County 21, Mobile Christian 0, St. Michael 41, Pleasant Grove 7, Southside Selma 39, Cottage Hill 22, Bayside 47, Randolph County 7. Thanks to all the people who joined us this morning. Appreciate all the guests. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.